from the heart of Dubai, where tomorrow is being built today to the world. Welcome to the CTO Show with Mehmet. Here, we redefine technology and reimagine possibilities. With Mehmet, delve into the riveting realms of AI, cybersecurity, and digital technology. Experience the thrilling highs and lows of startups. Immerse yourself in the spirit of entrepreneurship and witness the future of business innovation being written in real time. Now, without further ado, let's tune in and explore the future.
Hello and welcome back to a new episode of the CTO Show with Mehmet. Today, I'm very pleased joining me, Abdulrahman. Abdulrahman, thank you very much for joining me today. The way I love to do it usually is I keep it to my guests to introduce themselves. So tell us a little bit about you, what you're currently doing, and a little bit more, of course, on your journey, and then we can kick it off from there.
Yeah, thanks, Mehmet, for inviting me to this podcast. So my name is Abdulrahman Jano. I'm a co-founder at TerixOff. So we are basically a tech partnership company, which basically means we provide a CTO as a service for budding entrepreneurs. So we have a portfolio companies from Excel-backed companies or private equity-backed companies or venture capitalist-backed companies. So we come there, we help them in the technology transformation, restructuring architecture to the deployment, and a lot of stuff we help in the AI integration, AI adaptation, or sometimes building an AI solutions for that. And I come from startup background. This is my fifth startup. So happy to give you any more insights.
Great. Thank you very much for being with me today here, Abdulrahman. Now, one thing I know, and I think we discussed this with you before, is you came from a background where, like, you were a product manager at Waste Ventures.
Yeah.
And then you know you co-founded your current studio. So what drove you from being into the product management side to little bit being in the entrepreneurship side?
Yeah, so basically entrepreneurship journey started basically from my family, and in India there's a geography called Gujarat, which means all of them who come from that families or that zone are end up going to be an entrepreneur or business people. And what usually happened with that people is, like, when kids are there on the dinner table discussion, there's always be a discussion of finance and something like that. So even in my engineering time, I was kind of clear that I want to do something in future to do with some business or some entrepreneurship journey. And started my first venture during my college time, which flung, then started post immediately another venture with my few colleagues, which again went flung. It was in healthcare space. Then we did it a platform called Zycate, which was more like a meetup platform. So there we got selected by Microsoft to travel to Russia to present ourselves. And we got first prize globally in that competition. And what a rewarding prize money and all that. And then we started into that venture. A few months later, we couldn't raise funding from venture capitalists, so we have to shut down. Then after that, another startup in different video or gaming industry as such. We tried out but couldn't crack the business model. So it went again flung, and then tried in healthcare supply chain, which went really well. We raised good amount of funding. End up having a different round of exit. And then Waste Ventures India came in, where I realized that my failure history was very bad. I kind of flunking every year. So it's been more than 5-6 years that time. And all of my startups were failing. And I realized that I need to work with a mature startup where they have already funded and wanted to learn from them. So Harvard graduate people, or Boston Consulting, BCG group people, they founded the company, which is called Waste Ventures India. So I joined there as a product manager. So they want to build a whole technology framework. And it's more like an Uber for waste. So where each individual household will put a request saying that we have waste, and our team will go and do the waste collection. So we used to work with corporates like Google, Infosys, Uber. All of these corporate will tell us whenever they have the recyclable waste, we will go and collect the waste, and we pay the money for their waste, and we bring those waste recyclable, you know, do pre-processing and send it to authorized recyclers. And in this journey, what I realized was I wanted to do something of sorting and segregation. So waste, when it comes, it's very difficult to do sorting and segregation. So we had a staff of 100 people that time, and they were just doing plastic separately, paper separately, metal separately. It was a very tedious process. And then we tried to put a CCTV camera or industrial camera on conveyor belt. And then we realized, at that moment, I realized like AI is coming up, and we are trying to do image processing, computer vision, AI stuff there. And we were able to crack the first POC. And that's where I realized, like, it was a kind of calling along with my few engineers. We said, like, we should start a company called Terixoft, and we should do something in AI, and we should build a product together there. And since I had a failure experience in past, I was kind of very clear that we have to start a company which is sustainable in place. So we shouldn't have a revenue model from day one. And we decided to take some services of building a product. So we're good at building a product for startups. So like, we should build a product for our customers, and we should charge them. And with savings, we will build an AI solution and AI products. And that's where we are. We have few AI solutions and IPs right now, which we try to monetize. And parallelly, we have this services business model. I mean, it's kind of remarkable. We have been sustainable so far for 7 years.
That's great. Great to hear, Abdurrahman. You know, the question that came to my mind where you were mentioning this, so, and especially talking about failures and then trying again. So in your opinion, you know, especially when you are in a startup phase, how much do you think, because you gave some examples, but how much do you think, you know, getting strategic partnerships, and you have done this before, I know, is important for startups? And, you know, what are like kind of the tips and, you know, the advice you give to fellow entrepreneurs to secure, and not only secure, to maintain also these relationships with these giants like that you can rely to grow your business?
Yeah, absolutely. I think in previous startup which I failed, and even the current startup, or in between whatever the startup I work with, what one thing was kind of very clear, that sustainability is very important. And if sustainability is there, you can achieve your dream. So as an entrepreneur, when you start, you'll have a dream to change the world. And things may not work as you plan. Or sometime what you think like it will take 6 months or 1 year, it may end up taking 2 years, 3 years. And the timeline is not there for you to sustain it. And I've seen a lot of my fellow friends and entrepreneurs who feel to define the sustainability plan. And I think strategic partnership or collaboration with any other entrepreneurs, helping them, and in this journey, we will become sustainable. And once you are sustainable, you have your team. So today we have a team of 50 plus member teams. Now, making sure we are able to pay the salary on time, we need some ground base to be ready. And parallelly, the product and R&D team and the AI team and all those keep happening. We keep building those. But we don't reach on time. Sometimes we are ahead of our time. Sometimes customer doesn't want what we build. So in this journey, we need a sustainability strategic partnership. And that's why we started with some of our friends and colleagues and helping them building their products. And they, in fact, got successful as well in that journey. And in fact, the word Terixoft means basically a bunch of individuals whose success come by making other people successful. So we're kind of very clear that we need to make our customers successful, then we'll be successful. And that's where the partners and some kind of strategic game plan plays a very important role for sustainability. And that's make startup journey, see you running and take us where we want to go.
Absolutely. Abdulrahman, you know, also from you know what you mentioned and what we talked about before, I know that you like to, you know, to build, as you call them, impactful solutions and innovations. And today, you know, while you're running your services and C2O as a service, how do you decide, like, okay, this project is really worth, you know, building for this particular startup or founder? Like, is there anything that excites you when building these solutions? Is there something that you feel, yeah, like, you know, this really would change, you know, the whole market or the whole story, how things are happening?
Basically, the foundationally doing something with respect to impact is very important, at least to me. And early days, impact was the first, and then financial was always a second. And then in between, we realized that it's actually important to have. And in during my waste management startup journey, it was a social enterprise. So I used to work with 20, 30 different impact investors, impact entrepreneurs. And what I learned from there is there's something called triple bottom line, which means you just not look for bottom line. Top line means your revenue, bottom line means your profit and loss. And there's something called triple bottom line. So it's in social enterprise, you have those impact variable as well. So you talk about not just the financial bottom line, you'll talk about social bottom line, you'll talk about environmental bottom line. And that's very key to me. And when, although Telxoff is a commercial venture, but still we try to analyze how many jobs we're creating in this journey, how many kind of whatever the project which you are doing, it's kind of helping there or not. And the philosophy at which when we select any project, we try to see, is this entrepreneur genuinely care about humanity? And if that is there, well, then we echo with it. And is in return, even if you make a little bit less profit, is our solution is going to create that kind of impact. So for example, you know, we have waste management partner, which is a different waste management company, which I work for. It's a different founders and all that. And what there almost 1 million pickups has been done. And now they are working with other partners and it's expanded globally with few other countries. So it feels very good that what we are building is just not for India, it's all across the globe. And second customer is basically an EV industry, which is whole idea is they have 4,000 to 5,000 fleets, which cars are moving with electrical vehicle and all are sustainable vehicle and all that thing. And 1 billion APIs are getting computed. So it feels like very challenging and very responsible work as a tech person for makers to make sure we deliver, because it's millions of pickups are happening. Millions of people are experiencing our technology. And by some reason, if it doesn't work, it's going to be a big mess. The third very close to us, and 60% of our revenue comes from healthcare industry, at least in last year. And in general, healthcare where diagnosing space or staffing platform. And we see few lakhs, which is technically 100,000 to 1 million people are getting, or patients are getting benefited with the technology. And it plays a very important role. It's keep us exciting and that's keep me motivating every day when I come to office. Like, okay, whatever you're doing, it's going to help someone.
That's really, you know, nice to hear, Abdulrahman. Out of curiosity, so usually when you know, these founders reach out to you, do they come with, you know, like the whole vision in mind, or like they need just to have an MVP, or they come, you know, like they just have, you know, pretty much like half an idea and then you help them. Like what would be the ultimate, you know, scenario also for you? Like, do you prefer to just first release an MVP and then, you know, let them go, see how it will work out in the market and then build the full thing? And also maybe I'm asking you because you've tried to do this yourself a couple of times, so it will be beneficial to share that also with the audience.
Yeah, so when we were doing our design thinking exercise for our personas, who are our targeted audience, and we arrive at three personas: Julie, Sam, Peter. So Julie is the one, she is an entrepreneur. She has no clue what she wanted to do, but she might have seen a show like Shark Tank or something, and she decided she wanted to do something in entrepreneurship, wanted to start her own startup, and then she come to us. Then we have to do a discovery phase. We need to help her with business canvas model and help her saying this will not work, this will work. Competitive analysis, understand founders' strength and weakness. But sometimes we only talk about product market fit, but it's about founder market fit. So we help there and there. And in this journey, we craft them with MVP and then help to navigate to product market fit. So there's an iterative exercise which goes through. Is in each step, and it takes few months to few years to discover a product market. Then comes second persona, which is Sam persona, which is Sam is basically he has found a product market fit, but he don't have massive funding. He would have done it with very traditional technology stack, which is one is here, one is there. They don't know what to do. He's struggling to scale. And when he goes to investors are questioning on the scale. He has a product market fit, but it's still not ready as such. So we come as a technology transformation support and all that. And it's quite friendly, and majority of our engineering effort goes with a lot of the Sam personas. There he has the clarity what he wants to do. He has validated with his customer. Now the third persona comes up, Peter. So Peter is a very demanding persona. He knows what he's doing. He's scaling the venture right now. He is backed by Series A, Series B venture capitalist funding now. And some of our case of portfolios which we are working is a private equity backed funders. So basically, it means that the founder might have lost the control also. And this market which is demanding, they need to acquire market share. Those personas are very demanding. They will already have a tech stack, but we have to go more with value proposition. We need to say that, okay, we need to launch this features or solution. This will increase your revenue by 10% or market share by 15% or 5% or 2%. So it becomes very demanding that we have to tightly work with their investors, their stakeholders. For some time in some ventures, we need to report to 20 different stakeholders in that particular empire. So it's a very demanding, challenging execution operations. But it's very thrilled to work with the three of them. So early stage, they don't know what they want. So we help them in that. Middle stages where they already have a clarity what they're doing. So we help them with transformation of, let's say, microservices architecture and stuff like that. The third one is when come with the demand of outcome.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's the first time I've seen, someone on the show, dissecting this into these three, personas the same way that you did, which is fantastic. Now, before I go to the topic, which I think a lot they will be curious about, which is the AI, just on the part of, the startup phase, the initial phases, probably because you've worked on that side as well. You tried to do it also, and you work with venture capitalists. Now, from your experience, and usually I ask this question, it's kind of the questions that became fixed in my show. In your experience, Abdulrahman, what are the pros and cons of bootstrapping a startup versus seeking external funding? And for you, do you have any preferred approach?
So I'm kind of a fan of early stage, at least after a lot of cycles where we have seen the funding cycle, we have seen non-funding cycle. And if I need to start another venture tomorrow, I will still choose a bootstrap approach or no funding approach with seed or friends and family thing until I have a product market fit. The whole reason is when you get an external funding, many times what happens is that the vision which you have, the idea which you have, it's get corrupted or it's get destroyed. And you will not achieve what as an entrepreneur, as a vision which you have. And every entrepreneur will have a dream to change the world. And funding is a blessing, sometime it becomes a curse. And I think when you have enough product market fit or enough customer base, when you have clarity that, okay, I want to take this and scale it up, that's when you should definitely go for funding. Because when you have an opportunity and you're self-sustainable and you're not taking the external funding, means you're letting go some of the opportunities. You're letting go the market share. It's also wrong, because that's what your whole dream was. You want to change the world. So you will definitely need an external funding. But I believe that first idea validation should happen. And as a validation, it's not just the sustainability angle. It's a market validation. Is it a scale validation? Are you on the right market with the right product, with the right customers? And then if it is working well, is the customer demanding you and calling you and asking you so many features that you don't have enough resources to fulfill it? That's a product market fit. And that's the moment you should go to the investors. And you can crack a different kind of business model or funding routes. And there are different ways to raise funding these days. But funding is important, but post product market fit. And then it will come to a different thing. Then you can't innovate that much. Your idea will be to serve the customers, scale the customers, scale the market, and just acquire as much as you can. That's where this funding and blessing will help you to achieve that. So it's a two-edged sword. It's not a direct answer.
100%. It depends. Like, you know, usually I can say 95% of the guests here, they said it depends. I was reading an article the other day, and especially in these days, of course, we know that there are two types of investors. So you have, you know, the venture capitalists and you have the angel investors. So maybe with angel investors, you might reach out to them in your early stages, even if you don't have some traction yet, but you still need to do your homework of doing market research, market analysis, you know, so to see their appetite also for that. But of course, indeed, when you go to venture capitalists, you need, you know, and just to clarify or demystify the word product market fit, I know like everyone talks about it. So product market fit, it means very simply that the product that you came up with, has demand in the market, and not only demand, it has like potential to become huge demand. So this is what we call product market fit. And thank you, Abdulrahman, also because previously in the previous answer, you mentioned the founder market fit, because, you know, if you go to any, you know, website that talks about raising funds from venture capitalists or any book, they look at three things. So they look at, of course, the product itself, they look at the market size, and they look at the founder. So you need to have this mix of product, founder, market fit, that it's there. And also, as you mentioned as well, you know, and this is why we start to see more and more founders who bootstrap the business. So they put their own money, at least to get some small traction or, you know, build some kind of demand, and then they can take it forward. So absolutely spot on, Abdulrahman. Now, let's move to the AI, because, you know, if people are watching this, if you are listening, you know, you, of course, like you're not seeing, but in the background of Abdulrahman in the virtual wallpaper that he has, there's AI services. And AI, Abdulrahman, you know, it's on everyone's top of mind and a lot of things. And I'm happy that also in your introduction, when you started, you talked about, you know, computer vision and, you know, other aspects of AI that people nowadays, unfortunately or fortunately, I don't know, they think only about generative AI and, you know, automatic content creation. Now, tell me exactly, you know, what kind of AI services you offer and what you are seeing in this space, which is, you know, really is exciting you, and you think that it will have also great impact on the products that you'd be part of getting them out to the market.
Yeah, so I'll answer to your question first, like what we do in AI services and what I think about it and companies. So AI services as such, basically, it's folded into three categories. One is POC cracking. Sometime founder comes, and like a few days back, one founder came and said that, I want to do a 3D or realistic avatar who will be more like a psychologist or more like a therapist who will help you in the journey. No, he just not need a 3D or realistic based character, but also emotional intelligence aspect of it. But the first stage usually is not about building a product out of it. It's always about seeing a POC. Is it feasible with the current technology or not? So those are the scenarios. So whether we take another use case where we were working was in healthcare to identify a disease before it's actually detected with diagnosing centers. So before the chemicals and lab team process it, we were analyzing it with almost 80-90% accuracy that this particular patient is COVID positive or not. So these are the examples of it. And where when you do something like that, you need a POC of it. So is it feasible? Is it working? What kind of data set you needed? What kind of AI models available out there? All of this thing. So that's called prototyping or POC stage. So that's one service offering which we do when founders comes to us. Second is where MVP is. We already might have done the POC. We see that as we are confident or in the past, we have already done something like that. So we need to do an MVP. So we need to build with existing product or some kind of shape of product where they can interact, they can experience and stuff like that. And the third one comes a scale of AI. So once the AI prototyping and MVP is done, everything working as desired, then we take it to the production and deploy it in very orchestration way of microservices and scale aspect of it and feasibility aspect of it. So it's whether it's on-premises or on cloud and all of these things come with respect to the requirement. The tenth kind of offering which comes in layman terms on our website is a button. You just schedule it and come on the call and understand where do you stand there, because sometimes founder doesn't know what they need and guesses and I'll send them in that journey. So coming to AI as such, what I foresee what is happening in general. So we started AI R&D lab almost 7-8 years back, and I come from a student of computer vision and all that's been robotics. So it's almost 12 years I have been into this industry. In different shape and form, we have been doing it. And last 6-7 years, exhaustively with proper full-time resources, people used to work in our AI labs and all that. And what I've seen is AI was or is growing in these three categories, basically. It's about a passive AI, which the job is to just detect object detection like specs, earphones, and all that. These are the passive AI. You need your data, annotation, training, and get that. Second comes a generative AI. Now world is talking about it, which is basically means image generation, text generation, stuff like that. And third one is the intuitive AI, where the segment of AGI, ASI, and all those conversations will be done. World is trying for that. We are still yet to see. We have seen a lot of good, great progress there. But I think still that it will take a few years from now to get that materialized. But in general, in broad spectrum, these are the three AI category which I put into. And when someone comes into me with a request, I try to see, is this a passive AI requirement? If someone wants to just do OCR, read the documents. So we don't need a very sophisticated tech, because it can increase your cloud costs when you go on scale. Sometimes you will compromise on accuracy and stuff like that. So it depends on what framework you're I'm kind of extremely excited about AI as such. I come from the optimistic person, but I also bothered about job transformation. I don't think we'll lose the jobs. But in this transformation, this era is different. This world, this time, compared to industrial revolution, to agriculture thing, which was transformed to industrial revolution, to IT or technology revolution. Not this AI revolution will change definitely a different sector and jobs, but this time it's going very fast. Earlier, we used to have 20 years, 30 years cycle, which means generation, new generation will cope up, old generation still manage it and all that. But this is going very fast. Transformation is really crazy. So on one side, I'm extremely excited. On the other side, I feel like it should be regulated in some way.
Absolutely. You know, and there is no more exciting times than now. I've been, you know, long enough, I would say, in this domain. I've seen, of course, I was much younger. I've seen when the internet first came out. And I've seen, you know, the smartphone, and I've seen, you know, 3G, 4G, and all these technologies that everyone was excited about. But I've never seen a moment where, you know, even tech giants in just you know, like this, like in a speed of light, they drop everything and they follow this trend. And of course,
yeah,
we start to see a lot of startups coming up from this domain, and there's a lot there to do. Of course, in generative AI and other fields of AI, because to your point, Abdulrahman, it's like the computer vision, it's like the deep learning, it's like there's a lot of things that, and I believe we're going to see. Any other, any other technologies that you are seeing also on the rise in addition to the, that can be coupled with the AI actually? Do you think like these two, they will be like, again, doing fantastic things at a much faster pace, even of what we're seeing today? Any expectations you have there?
Yeah, I think I can bet on two industries. One is financial industry and the second one is healthcare industry. The reason is being two things. So one, in healthcare, we as a body is a kind of a pattern, and it's a complex pattern. So if you increase your weight, you will increase your some kind of other vitals, and it's everything around that. So healthcare as an industry really works well with AI, because AI is nothing but the automation or data patterns on steroids. So technically, it's going to mutate really well with healthcare and the biological space. And the second industry, which I think is the financial industry, because a lot of patents and regulation and stuff like that has a lot of complexity in the instruments, whether it's terms of investment, it's, things are going, has been very complex in that space. And with AI, it will make it very simplistic to explain it. Take assistive decision making, risk profile, want to get loans, leasing, stuff like that. I see this two industry, which is for me is like always HHW, which is happiness, health, and wealth. And I think health and wealth category is really going to adapt with AI.
I love this. I love this, Abdulrahman. Really. And I think one thing I will add to you, health and wealth, I would add knowledge. And this is why also I've started to see education, you know, and I've been very lucky to meet on this podcast with people who are doing fantastic things with edtech using AI, by the way. It's just mind-blowing. You know, a couple of things before we close up, Rahman. So, as you know, we were discussing technology, fast things, you know, and especially for you, you have to keep yourself up to date with the latest. So, what was or what is your strategy to keep yourself updated with everything that is coming at this fast pace? Like how you keep yourself and the team, you know, updated on all these innovations that happens?
Well, absolutely. I think for me, it's basically when I have to see myself, I always question myself with capital. And what it means is like knowledge capital, financial capital, and social capital. These are the three. And now I've added fourth one is emotional capital, which is what you give away back to your community and people around it, spreading. So it's like I try to see if someone is smiling and all. And when it comes to the knowledge capital, comes the first for me, because I feel like other things can be a source to reach that. Well, so in terms of knowledge capital, the one way I do is like every day I go for a morning walk, 1 hour walk or running there. And I put a podcast, and there will always be someone who's talking about AI or some other industries or how the entrepreneurship is changing for them and all of those things. So if it's upskilling myself every day, 1 hour is my kind of daily norm. And with respect to the team, we have a dedicated 10-20% of time budgeted. The processes are push. The structure are there, some kind of monthly goals are there. If they don't finish that particular task of reading book or watching the videos or something like that, your salary is hooked with that. So we made a salary structure where 90% you get fixed without no question asked, but 10% is on monthly goals. And one of the goals are always towards upscaling, getting work done on time and stuff like that.
That's amazing. Abdulrahman, you know, the final thing I always ask my guests, two questions in one. Final words of wisdom from someone who tried to do it. And, you know, I always love to hear these stories. And I love people who showed their vulnerabilities, same as you did. So you said like you failed and then you tried again. So final words of wisdom to fellow entrepreneurs, because on this show, you know, this is one of the things that I try to do is, of course, to encourage anyone who's sitting now hesitating, should I go do it? Should I try? You know, to go and do it actually. And also people who are already in tech, also to inspire them. And this is why you see here insights, ideas, and innovation, you know, in the frame here. Because that, you know, the whole thing is we need to give insights so people get ideas and then go out and innovate. So the whole thing. So from you, Abdurrahman, final words, you know, as advice to fellow entrepreneurs and where people can find more about you and your company.
Sure, sure. So I think I'll kind of do equals, right? One is what it made me think, and after so many failures, I get up every day and just do it. And when I was reflecting myself, it's one important thing for me was creating jobs. And that's making me feel good about it. And I feel entrepreneurship is about creating jobs, helping more people out there. And that was a purpose to me. And I think everyone will get to some kind of purpose or meaning of like their life to think about something. Colliding with that, whether it's healthcare or education or anything like that, because the passion is very important. It's every day you get up, really the day will be dry, things will be tough. Rejected by investor, rejected by clients, something out there in the failure. So the core is very important, the purpose and the eco around what you make you feel. The second is like, don't look at the goal, or if you're playing a football, don't look at the goals, you just look at your game. So enjoy your process, because when you are on the game and when you are doing it, you don't know what will happen next. So it's about that. So when you are in the entrepreneurship journey, think about like, okay, what's the task? I can do it. Okay, I don't have funding. What can I do it now? What is that option? Do I have it now? Sometimes we overthink and we just question about it. And I've seen a lot of my friends and people who told me 5 years back they want to start this startup. They are still not doing it because they're just questioning, overthinking. And my question is like, you have this option, just do it. You learn it. You enjoy the process. You don't look at the what in. Or when will I get Series A funding? What I needed? And that's are the outcomes. Enjoy the process and you'll get that. I think echoing your purpose or passion is very important, because persistence is the only way to succeed in the entrepreneurship. And that can only come from core of purpose or passion.
Absolutely. And where do we find more about you, Abdurrahman?
I think I'm always easily available on LinkedIn. It's just typing Abdurrahman Jain on LinkedIn. It's easily available. In fact, my calendars are always there, so someone will block me on that. And the website is terricsoft.com, www.terricsoft.com. And they can know more about my company as well.
Sure. I will put these links in the show notes. And just, you know, as a... you know, small, my two cents, as they say, on what you mentioned at the end. Yeah. Consistency, perseverance, believe in the purpose why you're doing, you know, the thing that you are doing. And then, you know, the rest will come. I've seen it, you know, it happened to me. I've seen it happening to a lot of people. So, you know, don't hesitate for one moment if you think you are up to something, you will succeed, whatever your condition might be today. So 100%. Abdurrahman, really, I enjoyed the discussion with you today. I always love to hear stories and inspiring advices also from someone who tried to do things, because, you know, the best way to give back is to share our mistakes, I believe. One of the ways, of course, not the only way. And thank you for sharing, you know, your story with us. And of course, what you are doing today is also very, very, I would say, important, because you're helping fellow entrepreneurs to build, you know, something which has purpose. As I was, you know, I'm a big believer in the purpose, whether you are building a health tech, fintech, whatever. It even might be, you know, as simple as a small tool that might be, you know, helping a small business. I still appreciate this, because you're trying to move someone from point A to point B, and point B is supposedly better place. So thank you very much, Abdulrahman. And this is the way usually how I will end my podcast episodes. So this is for the audience. If you just discovered this podcast, by luck, thank you for passing by. I hope you enjoyed the discussion today. If you did so, please subscribe and share also this podcast with your friends and colleagues. I really appreciate that. We need your support. And for the loyal followers who keep coming back and send me their questions, their suggestions, their complaints, anything you can do, please keep them coming. I love to hear feedback. I love to go over them. I love always to get this podcast in a better shape. It's a long journey. We are still maybe into the 0 to 0.01% of this journey. And this is why we need all your support. We need all your suggestions and feedback. So thank you very much for doing that already. And thank you very much for tuning in. We will have a new episode very soon. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Hit that subscribe button. Share the show with your tech-savvy friends and fellow entrepreneurs. And leave us a review on your favorite podcast app. Your support means the world to us.